In the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to young Pastor Timothy, the first letter, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You've heard the word of the Lord for our meditation today. It's our second lesson from 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the one mediator between God and man, dear family of God, what a theme for the sermon, right? A traveler's guide. Google that, you get 65,000 plus hits. Lots of traveler's guides out there. Almost sounds like something like cosmic travel through the galaxy or something like that. But this is a traveler's guide to prayer. And this takes us above the cosmic travel. This is for that time when we will go spiritually, our souls, from this life into the next. This is beyond the curtain, into that which only God can see. A curtain that the Bible, God's Word, pulls aside because God wants us to know about this. A traveler's guide to prayer is a good reminder that we are only passing through. Lots of Christians, both sides of the aisle, frustrated by another election, fragmentation in families, economic problems that just continue or grow worse, health issues. It's just good to be reminded by the dear Holy Spirit that we are only passing through. Paul said in Acts 14, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Tribulation is a word that means it's pressing in on you. Life is getting tight. I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place. And Jesus means the Savior that breaks that all wide open and gives you room to breathe. We can come to the Lord in prayer because you can bear an awful lot if you know you're just passing through. And this traveler's guide to prayer that the Holy Spirit gives us today is first of all meant for everyone. Another election? More prayer challenges. Always, constant. But this is for everyone. And it is just really good and encouraging to realize that the Lord is hard at work amongst us in our country and throughout the world. Don't expect the media to talk to you about this, but I showed this to the kids in chapel the other day, and if you have not picked up your copy off a table yet, or if they're gone by the time you get there, the insert today for the Wells Connection, which we'll see during the offering, is all about getting your own free copy of this. There's a number there. And I really encourage every Christian here to get a copy, whether you're Wisconsin Senate or not, because we just get this idea. Nothing's going on in the world out there. It's getting worse and worse. What we're seeing is absolutely amazing. Just to share a few stories from here, such as Nepal. Himalayas or Himalayas, really steep country up there. Until 60 years ago, the Hindu monarchy killed, imprisoned, or expelled anyone who brought the message of Jesus into the country. And I can tell you, we did not send any missionaries there. Now, in one of the darkest corners of the world, there are 36,000 Christian brothers and sisters in 40 churches worshiping today because somebody found Wells' written materials, asked for more, and the Lord has just gone to work. Even with, I was telling the kids about these little solar-powered players. We can send Bible instruction into these remote villages, let God's Son power them so the whole village can listen to training, and the Holy Spirit is just working all over that country. We haven't even been able to send a missionary there now. Too dangerous. Friendly counselor comes and goes. Name not in here because of security reasons. So the friendly counselor said he kept going past a house where the screams inside told him that woman was demon-possessed. Finally, in mercy, he knocked on the door. You're not supposed to do this. He could get deported or worse. But He said to the family, I know who can help your daughter. Later, the oldest brother, who happens to be in the high levels of the Nepali government, made a point to tell him, we will never bring our sister to you. You are lower than the lowest class in Nepal. You think you can help us? Answer, only Jesus can. Answer back, never. We will bring her to you, never. You are nothing. High official, he's got to have some pull, right? He's got to be able to take his sister home, him and his wife, weeks on end, drained from all night shouting and screaming, finally bring his sister back to the father's house. A few days later, father, mother, family members carrying her on a cot to the friendly counselor's house. Father kneels down on the ground, touches his hat to the man's feet, and pleading for his daughter, says, please help my daughter. Only Jesus can. They took her in. I love the way the friendly counselor says this. No theatrics, no drama, no high emotion, only prayers in the name of Jesus. 4 weeks later, the demons left. Can't stand to be around the name of Jesus. They had to leave. She was a completely different person. The whole family converted to Christianity except the hardcore brother. And each year, she calls and thanks them. And they remind her, Jesus is the one who saved you. Do you realize that in Nepal, the Buddhists and the Hindus tell everyone afflicted with demons to go to the Christians because they say, only the Christian God has power over demons. Let's not feel sorry for ourselves in the land of the free and the home of the brave. We still have religious freedom that is such a wonderful blessing. Pray for all people, the Lord's apostle says, on your way through to heaven. I urge then, first of all, requests. Those are begging prayers, and we're begging God to be merciful to our country in spite of all the wickedness we see around us in high places too. Lord, have mercy. Prayers, that's general. Intercession means for other people, and then thanksgiving for everyone. If government officials are good, they need strengthening. If they're evil, they need straightening. Pray. Intercede. The Lord loves to hear intercession, His people praying for other people. Some of you may remember that story about Chaplain Phil Merton, prison ministry in Racine. Inmates prayed for traveling mercies on his motorcycle back up to Milwaukee. Heavy rain. Couldn't see the road or taillights anymore. Forced off to wait under a shelter in a service station, wondering. Somebody shouting at him, hey! You headed for Milwaukee? Guy's got an empty motorcycle trailer behind his car. Right to his door. Those are traveling mercies. That's the Lord loving to hear from anyone, including inmates who have repented and turned to the Lord, and criminals like us. Or Paul, who we heard that last week in the sermon, persecutor of Christians, violent man. Lord loves to hear from those who turn to Him. And when we intercede for others, He's listening. Because a traveler's guide to prayer is for everyone and for pleasure. Some of you may have noticed already that there are some blanks on page 10 in your worship folder. If you want to take notes, this is part of us getting ready for our growth groups, but you can fill in the blanks. Question 4, how can Christian men reflect? Insert the word God's unlimited patience there for them. We'll get to that in a minute. More notes. The printer just has to put those pages out, so we'll make the best use of them that we can. But a traveler's guide for prayer is for everyone and for pleasure. Now, you see for pleasure, that's got to raise the red flags for any Christian right there. Really? Really? The pastor's going to tell us this is for pleasure? Oh, yeah. I realize that most of the time when people talk about pleasure, it's their own. People pray for things that will give them pleasure, if they pray at all. And that's kind of what Jesus calls when you find your life, but you lose it anyway. It's like if you really, really love crab apples and there's a great crop on grandma's tree. Kids, don't try this at home or anywhere else. Because you eat all those crab apples and you don't stop when they tell you. Your stomach will be churning and let's just say breakfast will be gone. That's finding your life but losing it. That's praying for pleasure. What the Lord is talking about here is pray for the Lord's pleasure. If we can live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness, God's pleasure comes true because he wants all men to be saved. Now, this is a place where the translation could be better. The Greek word for men here is a generic word that really means people. Men is not a bad translation, but in our sensitive age, and I think in this context, it actually would be better to translate people because you get down to verse 8, and that's specifically men, males, as opposed to females. So here, all people to be saved because there's one mediator, Jesus. He came to be both God and man, to represent both. God's courtroom is satisfied that our crimes are paid for, the justice of God satisfied by the blood of his own son. God cannot hold you guilty for any sins, not anybody in the whole world. It's all gone. It is finished, Jesus said. And God raised him from the dead to put a neon sign out there for everybody to see. Are they neon anymore, or LED? I don't know. But you got to see this. God cannot come back with your sins and your guilt because he would be dishonoring his own son, the mediator. And Jesus gets it. That's why he came here, to go through all the political problems and the health issues, one after another, the economics, all of that, to be one of us and represent us before God's throne. One God, one mediator. He wants us to know about him because God's good pleasure is to bless us all. He gave himself as a ransom for all people, the testimony given at the proper time. So he wants us to be able to come to him and hear about his love and his kindness. We are blessed to know many Asian pastors too. A lot of that work started here in the Twin Cities. You read in here about the Hmong missions and pastors that we have now. It was my privilege to preach for Jerry Yang the last time he went over to Thailand at the time, to the refugee camp. We think he was poisoned over there. But when he died, God caused two other young Hmong men to step up for training. Peng Mua is still with us. Now he's training, and we have pastors, Hmong pastors, all over the country and going back to the old country with this message of life. One of those going back to one of 30 countries that persecutes Christians, where you can be removed from the village or beaten. He's a graduate of our Pastoral Studies Institute, which means in their culture they can learn Hebrew and Greek and learn to be a faithful, God-fearing, God-pleasing pastor right in their own culture. But he could stay in the United States safely. Instead, he and his wife use their own money to travel back and forth to these villages, and at the risk of their own lives and at the cost of their own bank account, they want to tell people about the one true God. He said on his first trip, he's talking about marriage, and all the women were crying. I was teaching the husbands that God says to love their wives. They had never heard that before. It brought them to tears. They begged him to bring Bibles next time he came. That's dangerous, as it proved to be coming back. All of his luggage was searched. The Bibles were in his backpack. He passed safely through, gave away all the Bibles. God loves to bless so that everyone can know his good pleasure. His good pleasure that also helps us understand in our culture what one man was writing about in the papers. Got this, I think, from one of our members. I love the clipping service I have among our members here. But some man wrote into the local paper and said, I think the pastors and priests are wasting their time. I've been to church for 30 years. I can't remember a single sermon. Some of you are probably thinking, yeah, Pastor, if I ask you next week about your sermon today, you'll have to ask me, what was it about again? I know. But this really sparked a whole bunch of letters to the editor until one man finally wrote in and he put the cap on it. He says, for 30 years I've been married. My wife has cooked 32,000 meals or more. I don't remember a single menu from any of those meals. But her hard work gave me strength to do my work. If I hadn't been nourished by that food, I'd be dead. Likewise, I go to God's house to be nourished. Otherwise, I'd be spiritually dead. The Lord keeps us alive on our traveling through. And God's great blessing of a traveler's guide to prayer is for everyone. It's for pleasure, God's pleasure, because that's where our blessings come from Him from whom all blessings flow. And it's finally for peace. Finally for peace. He says, this is the purpose I was appointed a herald. I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. Why does Paul have to say that? Because they look at him, the former persecutor, and they think, no way could you possibly be the Lord's servant and missionary of the Gentiles. They really thought that he was lying and that he was just trying to find Christians, and he's fighting that the rest of his life. So, no, I was actually appointed by God to be the missionary of the Gentiles. So I'm coming with that message, he says, that there's one mediator between God and man. I'm a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. God appointed me. And God in his great mercy grants peace to rescue us from our own problems and our difficulties. If I say 2008, pretty much all the adults remember the big crash. If you were in a church at the time or watching things in our synod, that was a hard time for congregations and synod too. Deep debt, missionaries being recalled, worker training schools in trouble. We prayed for God's peace so we could keep on working together and not fall into the pointing finger. Isaiah talks about that. Get rid of the pointing finger where everybody's trying to blame everybody. Marriages, churches, synods. God not only rescued us, but what he did since then and through those times is just astounding. That's why they had to put out the special issue. The Lord took the language skills which are so prominent in our worker training schools and made them blossom into what on page 30 in here is called the crown jewel of world missions. Talking about the multi-language publications which are now out in over 700 publications in 47 different languages. So if you have a neighbor who's from another culture and speaks a different language as their heart language, you can most likely get materials through MLP, multi-language publications, to help them. Printed 2.9 million items. And not just printed materials, but now more and more digital. All over the world, the internet, ever hear of it? Smartphones, ever hear of those? You know why they're recycling smartphones out of America? Because they go to third world countries. There is still a market for those phones. It's pretty amazing because that means we don't even have to print this material anymore. Hundreds of thousands of Hispanics all the way, and Latinos all the way down through Central America into South America have heard of Academia Cristo, an online academy for Christ where they can go and download these materials and teach in their own culture to their own people to minister in their heart language and form up congregations in their homes. It's happening all over the world. More and more nationals taking ownership with worship materials, music materials. There's one fear in all this. It's that we won't have a right relationship with money. If we fail to put the Lord first, we don't even have enough resources to get that out there to those who are just begging us to send it. So you can be a missionary from where you live. Pray about it. Pray about it. I put my little offerings in, and I always do it with a prayer, Lord, it seems so small. But when you start multiplying small gifts among his people, and I'm praying that those who have the means, and they do step up, it is really spectacular. Because look at what's happening, even in places where we can't send missionaries. Pakistan. The doctor that's in here, I won't mention his name even here, got to meet him in Hong Kong when all those Asian translators came to that workshop, and he and his wife were describing what it was like to be a Christian doctor in Pakistan, where it is illegal to be a Christian, have a Bible, talk about Christ. On the internet, he found the gospel, found out about Wells materials, started asking. So his wife gets the Bible stories in Luther's small catechism, and his wife goes to work and starts translating them into Urdu, the local language. The doctor takes these materials to the hospital where he works, and he asks the co-workers to test out these materials. Read it, tell me what you think. Well, they're all Muslim. This is dangerous. But they get away with it in the hospital. So he says they had so many materials out there. One woman was reading the Bible teaching material, hid it in the bathroom. Another woman finds it and starts sharing it. They shared it so much that the gospel got all over that facility throughout the healthcare industry. He says, you cannot preach the word of God outside. People will kill you. But in the hospital, the Taliban likes this literature very much. Many Taliban are the real radical Muslims. Their life has been changed there when they come to the hospital and they start reading the Word of God. Sometimes we have more than 800 literature books gone. They keep circulating them. Under death threat, they had to come back to America, but he is still managing and helping with his connections there. More than 50,000 people have seen this literature. Whenever he gets a chance, he likes to ask the Muslims who are reading this Christian literature, without telling them what they're reading, but why do you study the Word of God, he says. Their answer, we like it. The gospel is so sweet. The message is so fine. Christ is the mediator for all people. Men, he says, don't argue about it. Don't fall into the trap of pointing the finger in your meetings and getting all bent out of shape about all these problems, etc., etc. He'll have more to say to the women in the verses that follow. That's a different sermon or a winter Bible study on God's role for men and women. That's up and coming. But now, he says to the men first, stop arguing. Stop criticizing. Work together in peace because this is God's guide to prayer for travelers who really need it. He continues to coordinate the ministry from Pakistan for all those who are just so hungry for this Word of God. I know I can only tell you a little bit here. I've got to stop. But remember that God's guide to prayer, this traveler's guide, is because we are just passing through. We don't know how long in this veil of tears. God only knows when the last trumpet will sound. But while we've got time, we get to be part of this great army with our prayers and our offerings for that great day when God brings it all together. And I shall know fully as I am fully known, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. All the circuits wired and all the lights are on, and you will know everyone that God reached with your offerings and everybody that's here and unnamed. Brothers and sisters in the family of God, home at last, because a traveler's guide for prayer is for everyone. And it's for pleasure, God's pleasure. And it's for peace, God's peace. Pray, Christian. Pray. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.